today is kind of like a Monday in disguise, isn't it? First day of the work week after the long holiday Thanksgiving weekend. But when it's a Monday in disguise, that means really it's a Tuesday. And on the second Tuesday of every month, we've been doing this for quite some time now, and we're very pleased to have this partnership with the Canadian Mental Health Association, Waterloo Wellington, and that the partnership continues. It's been a long-standing one, and I hope it remains forevermore, because I think it's great that we get this opportunity with our friends from CMHA Waterloo Wellington to have these conversations around our mental well-being. We call it our monthly mental health check-in. And joining us for that check-in today is Allison Demuy, who is the Director of Strategy and Community Engagement at CMHA Waterloo Wellington. Allison, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I am terrific, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Very, very well.
I'm very glad to hear that. And, you know, just as we get into the conversation, I know that the month of October is Workplace Wellness Month, and that is your focus and your specialty at CMHA Waterloo Wellington. But, of course, yesterday, too, not just Thanksgiving Day, but World Mental Health Day. And I think, you know, the fact that we mark it as a worldwide occasion speaks to our ability today, at least to me, Allison, to be having these conversations. And I think we're breaking down some barriers and maybe reducing stigma in that regard.
We are. I hope we are, Mike. I think that, you know, for a lot of people, October is a perfect month for us to look up and take a look around in our workplaces and ask ourselves, what role is the workplace playing in my mental health? Is it positive? Is it negative? And, you know, for a lot of folks this year in particular, September signaled a return to office for a lot of us, either full-time or in hybrid format. And so, again, it's a chance for us to look around and say, in this post-pandemic world, we spend still the majority of our time at work, more than 60% of our time. And so what role is the workplace playing in keeping us mentally healthy?
And are workplaces becoming more aware of their role in that, Allison, how it's important to keep it a place that is healthy for our mental health?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, again, you know, the pandemic certainly brought a lot of this to the forefront. You know, we know that psychosocial factors are the thing that influences our mental health in a positive or a negative way. And although the cause of our mental distress may or may not be directly the workplace, it certainly shows up in how we work. And so the work environment, more than not now, needs to play a very direct role in reducing, you know, the onset of mental health, the severity or the impact or the duration of some of our mental health concerns. And I think what employers are realizing is that there's a direct influence on their bottom line, that in a time when we're attracting and trying to retain people as much as possible, we have a labor shortage right now, and we want people to feel productive in their workplace, to feel happy in their workplace, that employers are saying, you know, I need to step up. This is, in fact, an evolving duty that I have to provide a psychological safe place to work.
Does CMHA Waterloo Wellington work with employers to provide these safer spaces, these healthier spaces?
Yeah. In fact, I can tell you that this has been a very big part of our work over the last couple of years. And we work a lot with local organizations. And of course, CMHA is a national brand as well. So even if you're working for a company that might be Ontario or Canadian based, we do that a lot. And again, the reason is because, you know, I say in the not-for-profit world, Mike, that we're in the business of going out of business. We want to reduce the amount of people that need to access our programs and services. We're always here for you if you need to, but ideally we're working with employers to set up strategies so that people don't feel that they need to access more formalized service, that they're managing their mental health, that they know the skills and the tricks and tools that we need every day to be able to sort of deal with stress, to deal with burnout, to manage our own emotions, to regulate our own emotions. And those are things that, again, those were often dealt quite privately by people between families or maybe between their clergy. This is now something that is now far more in the open. In fact, it's a workplace conversation now. And that is the reality of the world in which we're living in. And I think there's a positive side to that. We're seeing mental health the same way that we're seeing physical health, that to be a good employee means to be healthy both physically and mentally.
Are there things, Allison, that an employee should be looking for or even expecting from the modern workplace that is tuned in to the importance of mental health?
Yeah, I think so. There's some criteria. We work at CMHA. We work with employees to do kind of a little bit of an audit and take a look around and make sure that we've got some of those safety mechanisms. We have a lot of programs, by the way, as well, that we deliver within workplaces that do a lot of things. But really, employees should be asking themselves, you know, am I able to reasonably balance the demands of my work and my personal life? Does my employer have policies around workplace burnout? Is there clear and effective communication so that I'm clear in the expectations of my role? Is there a supportive community at work that values mental health and values the importance that plays? And then, you know, the last thing is, does my employer really understand and share the accomplishments that value, again, that commitment to being a healthy workplace?
So when we arrive into a month like October, which is Workplace Wellness Month, Allison, what supports can the Canadian Mental Health Association, Waterloo Wellington, bring to workplaces? Like you just mentioned those audits. Can you work with employers? Are there tools that they can access, et cetera?
Yeah, as I said, I'd encourage anybody to come and visit our website, and that you'll see all the sort of training programs, the audit programs we do. I will highlight one program in particular because we're pretty excited about this one. We rolled it out about 6 months ago, and we've already put about 300 people locally through the program, and it's been amazing. We actually did this program in partnership with the Running Room. So it's both a physical and a mental health 8-week program. It's called Shift Your Mind, shiftyourmind.ca. You can get information on it. And a lot of employers are seeing this as really the same way you'd see first aid or a lot of the training that you do, again, in workplaces to keep people safe. This is a safety program for mental health, and it allows people to have very basic conversations about tools and tips and tricks to sort of stay mentally healthy. But we've got this added bonus of adding in a running, a walking, or even just a movement program so that people are really connecting with their physical health as a means of keeping ourselves mentally healthy as well.
You know, when you talked earlier, Allison, about working for a nonprofit, and ultimately the goal is to have fewer and fewer people needing access to the services you provide. And it's great that Here 24/7 is just that. It's Here 24/7 through CMHA Waterloo Wellington for folks that need it. But I made the same point last week in a different conversation with another nonprofit. I mean, ultimately, you'd love to work yourself out of a job, but you also said something else that really struck me, and that is that we are beginning to take our mental health as seriously as our physical health. And it occurs to me that that has not always been the case. So I wonder, as we are now into the midst of Workplace Wellness Month, are you encouraged by where we're at, like the progress we've been making?
We're making great progress on that, but it still isn't great. And I use the analogy of, you know, if you were walking into your workplace today, Mike, and you saw somebody that you worked with fall down the stairs, you know, you would have a very instant reaction to that. You would want to go over to them and sort of check on them and make sure they're okay. And if they weren't okay, it would seem totally reasonable for them to maybe go home and take the day off and recover. We don't have that same attitude all the time as it relates to our colleagues when it relates to feeling down or feeling blue or feeling burnt out and all the feelings that we have related to our mental health. And so that's a lot of that stigma that we need to get rid of and sort of, again, put on par our mental health with our physical health and have the same attitude in the workplace that there are days where you're not feeling great, and we want to watch for that, and we want to build a supportive of an environment so that those days don't turn into weeks and months, that we actually are able to catch ourselves, move through those blue days, and maintain a better, healthy environment at work.
You talked about the labor shortage that we're experiencing right now, and I've been reading all manner of things, including another just this morning that talked about the incentives that employers are offering just to retain employees today, because it's kind of a job seeker's market, if you will. And I would suspect that these types of initiatives, ensuring that, you know, that balance is being struck as best it can be, that these mental health supports are in place in a workplace, they're becoming that much more present in workplaces because they want to retain employees today.
Absolutely. In fact, I'll tell you, there's some new data that came out in August. There was an article in the Globe and Mail on this, but that 73% of employees aged 18 to 34 and 69% of workers aged 35 to 44, so still a clear majority in both of those age groups, said that they would leave their job for a better mental health plan at another workplace. So we're watching this in real time, that people are saying, my mental health and the support of my work environment is of huge importance to me, and I would even leave to go to a better place that supported that. And, I mean, that's the reality of, I think, what we're dealing with in this post-pandemic world. People's ability to manage every day is lower. We know that. Our bandwidth, our mental bandwidth is lower. And, you know, I think it's a responsibility. As I said, it's sort of an evolving duty that employers are saying we need to provide. But there is this direct link to the ability to retain and attract great talent in the workforce for this. So, yeah, CMHA really does see ourselves as along with all of our other partners in the mental health and addiction community, as helpers to employers on this. We want to make sure that we are there for employers as they're figuring out what that looks like for them.
Allison, I really appreciate the work that you do and the time that you've given us on the show this morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Stay well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Allison DeMouy is... Oh, wait, let me make sure I get the title proper here. Strategy. Hang on. Of Director of Strategy and Community Engagement. I had to go to another screen there, and I clicked the wrong button. Allison is the Director of Strategy and Community Engagement at the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo-Wellington. Every second Tuesday, so the second Tuesday of every month is the right way to say it. The second Tuesday of every month at 11:30, our friends with CMHA Waterloo-Wellington join us for our monthly mental health check-in. And it's so timely that we are into the month of October, which is, as we just outlined, Workplace Wellness Month through CMHA Waterloo-Wellington. And when you consider the kinds of programs that so many workplaces are putting into place to ensure that the mental well-being of their employees is supported. It's interesting that Allison would use the term bandwidth. Do we have the bandwidth to deal with the various things that are coming at us? A good friend of mine, when I reached out to him recently with a possible opportunity for him, his response was, thanks for thinking of me. I just don't have the bandwidth for it right now. It's the first time I'd heard it that way. And I've used it many times since then. And now to hear it in this conversation with Allison this morning, I think it speaks to, and I've been giving this a lot of thought, and you heard Allison make reference to it, but I think it does speak to where we are kind of at, if you will, mentally post-pandemic. And the story on this has not yet been written and, dare I say, will not be completed. You won't dot the final I or cross the final T for a decade or more from now as we look back at the various impacts that the last almost 3 years now have brought to classrooms, to workplaces, to our communities in general, given how strongly some of us felt on either side of the spectrum when it came to our responses to the pandemic, right? Oh, this was critically important that we did X, Y, and Z, or we never should have done X, Y, or Z. And so many got so entrenched in those little tribes that it's going to be hard to mend the fences, if you will. But just this morning, I was reading again, and I mentioned this in the conversation with Allison. I was just reading again about the kinds of incentives that employers are providing just to encourage people to return to the workplace now, which I find absolutely incredible. I get it. I really do. That remote work is absolutely possible now. And for some jobs, for many, I don't know. I would say for many jobs, remote work is absolutely possible. And listen, who wouldn't rather commute to the living room or the home office or whatever, as opposed to commute to the office? All of a sudden, you're given the gift of time, because that commute and what goes into preparing for it, and then the time of the commute itself, I mean, that's time you're getting back. It's the most valuable commodity that we have. So I can certainly understand the attraction from that perspective. But I also believe pretty strongly in the collaboration that occurs and the energy that is generated when you're in a workplace setting. And maybe this is just the old fuddy-duddy in me talking, but when you're in that workplace setting with your colleagues, to me, that makes a world of difference in your overall productivity and, frankly, your overall enjoyment of work. If you're disconnected physically from the people you work with and you're only seeing them on, you know, Teams meetings or your Slacker chat group or whatever it's called, like, it's just different. It's just different. And I think it changes your perspective on work and your approach to work. And I think that's part of the reason why we saw so many people reevaluate their relationship with work over these past almost 3 years now. I've mentioned this many times, but how many people do you know in your circle? Certainly, if you are of a certain vintage, I count myself in that above 50 crowd here, but I've heard people taking early retirements, switching jobs completely, saying it's just not, that relationship with my workplace just doesn't work for me anymore. And so then you consider now it's time to go back to the office for so many people, but there's resistance to it. And employers are basically saying, look, we've got this office space. We need to fill it back up again. Here are the incentives to get people back into the office. It's a really interesting time. And again, it's an interesting time when it's a job seeker's market, right? Because if you don't like what your current employer is offering, chances are you can go find yourself another employer that's offering something that suits you a little bit better. Anyway, let's keep in mind that October is Workplace Wellness Month. And on the second Tuesday of every month, our friends with the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo-Wellington join us for a little mental health check-in. It's all part of the Mike Farwell Show on City News 570 and Rogers TV.